Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining into Multifamily Matters, the only radio broadcast show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show today with wonderful guests who are experts on the topic of today's show. What national organization has worked tirelessly for the last 40 years on behalf of the apartment industry? Well, it's the National Multifamily Housing Council. Two major areas that the National Multifamily Housing Council works in are advocacy and research. NMHC and its industry partner, the National Apartment Association, are the voice of the apartment industry and serve as the apartment industry's primary advocate on federal legislative and regulatory matters. And the NMHC is the primary resource for industry research, insight, analysis, and expertise on apartment industry issues. With this in mind, our topic today is NMHC, the current initiatives. Joining me by phone are Sarah Yossi, Vice President for Industry Communications with NMHC, Caitlin Walter, Vice President of Research with NMHC, and Colin Dunn, Director of Advocacy and Policy with NMHC. Thank you guys for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Excuse me for fumbling over NMHC. It's a mouthful when you're trying to say it fast. But I've been to some of the events that you guys have, and you really do support apartment leaders, industry leaders from all over the country with your research, your advocacy. I was very interested and pleased with what I saw at a conference earlier this year that I attended. Met a lot of people in the industry who are really proud to be a part of your organization. And as I said in the introduction, you're celebrating 40 years of doing this, and it's something that the industry needs. And you guys are doing a great job. And we wanted to talk about some of the initiatives. And Caitlin, you're working on some research, I believe, for multifamily demand, which kind of keys off to other areas. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with that.
Sure. So our multifamily demand research, we actually released a year or so ago, and it kind of set the stage for a lot of the stuff we're working on that we'll get into later. But we decided we really needed to look at the demand aspect to just kind of gauge what we would be looking at going forward. So we worked with NAA to hire an outside research firm, Hoyt Advisors, and they looked at the demand for apartments through 2030. And what they found is that we're going to need 4.6 million apartments at a variety of price points by 2030 just to keep up with demand. And they took a pretty conservative outlook. They worked in a recession or two in there. We're pretty confident in that number. And it works out to about 328,000 units need to be built every year, which we've just started hitting finally, but we're still catching up from the aftermath of the recession when we weren't keeping up with demand. So that research has really kind of set the stage for some of the initiatives we're working on right now. And we looked at it at the U.S. level as well as for all 50 states and then 50 metro areas. And all that's available at www.weareapartments.org. And you can see the different metro areas, what the demand is anticipated to be through 2030. And then you can also see what that demand or what the supply has been. So you can see if there's a gap. In most places, there is a gap. So even if we built at the current level, we're still not going to be meeting that demand.
And I would imagine that you've got that they take in consideration when you say they're conservative in their estimates with units that are lost due to just, you know, condemnation or natural disasters. Like in Houston last year, we had a pretty major hurricane that took a lot of units offline, some that will not be coming back online. They do that as well, don't they?
Yeah, so they take into account obsolescence, but obviously the research was done before Harvey hit, so that number, we weren't expecting that. But they do take into account obsolescence, but they also highlight in the report, the full report, it's about 100 pages long, is available on We Are Apartments as well. They do highlight the fact that in addition to these units that are being lost, there are a lot of a large portion of the existing stock is older. And so those are units that likely will be falling into disrepair and need to be addressed going forward as well.
And Sarah,
that's an added pickup. Sure.
Great. And Sarah, when these types of reports are completed, you're involved in industry communications with NMHC. How is that communicated and I guess to the multifamily industry across the country?
Right. Well, as Caitlin mentioned, we do have our interactive website, which is www.weareapartments.org, and so that's a big piece of it. But we did this research also in the context of some affordability issues. We kind of need to know where the demand is and how the industry is doing in kind of meeting that demand. And so when you sort of see that delta, that continues to grow in our ability to kind of meet that demand, you get the sense that the affordability crisis that we can continue to hear about in the media, that we're encountering with lawmakers and policymakers looking to kind of address concerns in their jurisdictions, you see that it's you kind of need a holistic solution, because we need to find ways to continue to address the supply gap that continues to grow. And so this research was really important in just sort of getting the data out there, because up until now, nobody had really known how big that delta really is in some areas, especially those that are really struggling with housing affordability across the spectrum.
And Colin, I would, I wonder, does advocacy play a part in trying to make that difference up? Is there some type of role with the legislatures to offer incentives or whatever so that you can fill in those gaps that you have?
Yeah, thanks, Paul. And that's absolutely the case. In communities across the country, as well as at the state and federal level, regulations and rules, and then legislation, again, at the federal level, have a significant impact on the speed and ability of the industry to not only develop new communities, but to renovate and reinvigorate ones built in the past. And a big part of what we try to do here on the advocacy side at the National Multifamily Housing Council is work with our policymakers at the federal level, but also the state level, to develop rules and regulations that are conducive to an environment that supports the development of new housing and that housing at a variety of price points. And we encourage lawmakers to look at housing and, as Sarah put it nicely, in a holistic manner, to think through what are the different levers that they can use from a policy perspective that will, again, foster the development of communities in the neighborhoods, and especially in those communities that are facing housing affordability challenges, which we're seeing really across the country.
And so your offices are up in the Washington, D.C. area, but you guys get involved in some of the local and state groups to make sure that they've got what they need to be able to try and work with the legislatures and the local regulatory bodies?
That's right. Thanks, Paul. We work closely with our members and a variety of stakeholders across the country, as well as with our partners in the National Apartment Association, as you alluded to in your introduction, who have affiliate apartment associations in cities and state capitals across the country. And they are really terrific partners when it comes to on the ground eyes and ears for what's going on in the distinct municipalities and cities that we are working with. And then together, we try to develop productive, positive policy approaches that work with the stakeholders on the ground, policymakers at all levels of government, and with our combined membership to make sure we get to solutions that, again, foster an environment that is conducive to housing.
We got about a minute before we're going to take a break, but I just wanted to make sure to lay it out for our listeners. So you guys work on a national level with the federal government, since you're, I guess, headquartered up in the area where our federal government is housed, in the D.C. area. And then when it gets down to the state and local levels, you work with the state apartment associations and the local apartment associations to kind of be the boots on the ground in that regard, but provide them with information and research they might need.
Yep, that's right.
That's great. That's great. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back after these messages. I want to remind our listeners that you can contribute to the show by giving topic ideas and guest suggestions at our website, www.multifamilyradio.com. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing NMHC, the current initiatives. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me are Sarah Yossi, Vice President for Industry Communications with NMHC, Caitlin Walter, Vice President of Research with NMHC, and Colin Dunn, Director of Advocacy and Policy with NMHC. I want to jump back in to something on an earlier episode. Earlier in the year, we actually had Rick Hohe on with NMHC, and he talked a little bit about the disruption report. And Sarah, I know that's something you're involved with. Let's talk about an NMHC's disruption report and what you guys found out.
Sure thing. You're absolutely right. Like, I guess last spring we released our disruption report into kind of big success in the industry. The report looked at a number of demographic, psychographic, and technology trends and sort of brought to the surface some thoughts about how those changing trends might affect the multifamily industry. And by affecting, we mean, you know, from our customers' experiences and expectations to the industry's approach to designing, developing, and operating communities. So that really stimulated a lot of discussion in the industry. I think people were looking around and seeing kind of these disparate trends and having something that kind of brought it all together and said, you know, these are big tectonic shifts in just how people go about their lives. And that is going to have some sort of impact on the built environment that our industry is, you know, building and managing. And so what, you know, let's look ahead and what does that really mean? How are we going to have to think about our communities and our customers and the way we do business differently? Well, so that's really where we've been, and I think right now we're just kind of looking to what's next and digging in a little bit more into some of those big trends and thinking a little bit more specifically about industry response to them.
And let's talk about just a couple of examples of what was seen. I recall from when Rick was on the show and we were discussing it that there were things like parking and the fact that a lot of properties are having spaces that they have where they used to have clubhouses or so forth, and how they're creatively going to be using those spaces to bring in additional revenue and so forth. Let's talk about some of the ones that are maybe more surprising, if you can remember some of those.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for a lot of people, and myself included, one of the big takeaways is thinking about how our spaces need to be more flexible. I mean, we need to not pigeonhole ourselves into single-purpose space anymore. You know, people live in different household configurations. They are interested in different activities. And, you know, you have a set footprint of a building. So how I think the challenge going forward is going to be, you know, how to make those spaces more transformative than we've ever seen. So that's a huge takeaway. I mean, to that, answering some of those bigger questions, and beyond that, we've set up an innovation committee that's sort of multidisciplinary to really dig into some of the solutions to some of these trends. And their program of work in this initial stage is really kind of focused on artificial intelligence, blockchain, virtual reality, and smart home or Internet of Things. And they're kind of developing a program of work around those four main areas in the near term. But I would say, you know, another cool initiative that they've launched just this year is their they're calling it their innovation challenge, but basically what it is coming up with big kind of questions in the industry and trying to promote solutions. And so for this year's challenge, they are looking at noise transmission. It's a common resident complaint. People are always saying, you know, my neighbor upstairs is too loud. I can hear the people next door. And till now, just those traditional noise attenuation solutions have been just too expensive. So we're the committee has kind of partnered with this company, Azazi, which is a leading innovation accelerating software company, to launch a challenge. And it's an invitation for companies to put forward new cost-effective solutions for noise attenuation. And we've been surprised at the number of submissions, and we're going to be very excited to announce the challenge winner at our OpTech conference, which is going to be November 14th through 16th in Orlando. And so, go ahead.
I was going to say, what does the winner get?
Well, they get to come to our conference for free for several tickets, and they get a chance to basically get in front of the leading decision makers in the industry. Our OpTech conference attracts the heads of operations, marketing, technology for the biggest of the big.
Right. I wasn't it last year in Austin, Texas?
Yes, this year it'll be in Orlando.
Yeah, I was there last year, and it was a very, very well-attended conference with a lot of good information that was being shared with people in the different sessions and so forth. As a matter of fact, Daryl Carter, who I know is very involved with the organization, was a guest on our show when we were talking about affordable housing. So,
Yes, we're excited about it. It's going to be new, and the solutions are very different.
Yeah, and as far as housing affordability, since I mentioned Daryl's name, Caitlin, what are you guys working on from that standpoint? What research have you been able to come up with that we could share with our listeners?
So we're working on affordability on a variety of fronts. The most recent piece of research we've released, we released with the National Association of Home Builders back in June, looking at the cost of regulations. So we have been,
hearing about problems with affordability, especially when it comes to how expensive it is to develop from our members. And so we were trying to put some numbers on this, like we did with the demand research. So we partnered with NHB to survey each of our memberships and found that the cost of regulations, when you layer all these regulations one on top of the other, it really adds up, and it accounts for an average of 32% of total development costs when you look at the survey of our membership. So it's a pretty substantial portion, and while we need some regulation, obviously, to protect, you know, health and safety, there are, you know, when you layer them on top of each other, it becomes quite burdensome, and that can have an impact on affordability. And it's something that I don't think people realize with such a large part of the total development cost. So that's what we've been working on most recently.
Okay. Colin, is affordable housing, I know that there are a lot of different government, local, and, you know, federal, so forth, that are involved in housing, affordable housing. Is that where a lot of the advocacy comes in that you guys work on?
Thanks, Bob. Housing affordability is a key focus for us at the federal level and really across all our teams. It's an issue that our president, Doug Bibby, is keenly focused on, and we have a mandate as an organization to develop solutions, whether they be policy, industry, or otherwise, to help both the industry as well as communities who are grappling with this as a problem. And that has to do with the federal level, but also at the state level. To that end, we have a project that is not completely ready yet, but we'll be rolling out over the probably late autumn and early 2019, that focuses just on that and will basically divide into a number of sections of a toolkit. But the two key factors, I think, for this discussion will be an analysis of 8 different markets across the country based on a range of geography and market conditions that will be analogs that other communities across the country can relate to and see which factors are similar to those that they are facing in their communities. And from there, what are the policy solutions or the hurdles that those communities have faced? And from there, take and develop their own policy proactive plans that will help them work with stakeholders in the community and help them work with their municipal and state leaders to develop solutions unique to their communities and unique to the challenges they're facing, but will let them more easily close that housing affordability gap that so many are again facing.
Yeah, and I know that there are local housing authorities that are in different communities as well as the states, and again, when you have something you want to filter down through that, that's done through the local apartment associations as well.
That's through. So we have a strategic partnership with the National Apartment Association, and through them with their state or city apartment associations and affiliates. And again, yes, exactly. They are terrific partners for us to work with and see what are the solutions that will work for the problems and challenges that they are facing and what we can do to best support them, because at the end of the day, they are the ones who are most closely and intimately dealing with these challenges.
Great, great. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back with more of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500 or online at tedwallen.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing NMHC, the current initiatives. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me are Sarah Yossi, Vice President for Industry Communications with NMHC, Caitlin Walter, Vice President of Research with NMHC, and Colin Dunn, Director of Advocacy and Policy with NMHC. Before we took the break, we were talking about regulations, and you kind of alluded to the cost of the regulations. Caitlin, tell us a little bit about that. Let's go in a little bit more depth of that.
Sure. Our demand, as I mentioned in the previous segment, our demand research found that we need 4.6 million apartments, and at the current pace we're building, we're not getting there, particularly when you think about the fact that we need to build at a variety of price points. So we've been hearing from our membership that, you know, we just can't build at these certain price points. It's too expensive. Labor's going up, the cost of labor's going up, and there's a shortage. We found that in one of our quarterly surveys. The cost of land is expensive. The cost of materials has been going up even more so recently. And then also the members talked about regulations. And as I said before, some regulation is necessary. But when you really layer stuff one on top of the other, it really starts to add up. And so this research we did, which you can get on our website as well as NAHB's website, looked at these different kinds of regulations. And it looked at, you know, the fact that building codes have there have been a lot of changes in building codes over the past 10 years that have led to an increase in cost as well as an increase in design standards that aren't necessarily always necessary. Sometimes local governments will require certain design standards be met, certain types of facades, for example, that really add on to the cost of the project and don't necessarily add anything in terms of helping affordability. And so a lot of these things are kind of things that local governments may not realize are really adding up and are really hampering the affordability. So there were several areas that the regulations research looked into and really found that they added up. One other cost that we found is that there's just a cost associated with delays. So if you have to go in and get a rezoning and there's a lot of neighborhood opposition, the delay in that project will that can add up, and sometimes it can impact financing, things like that. So, again, something that we didn't necessarily have a number to quantify before, but we can show now, hey, this really does have an impact.
All right. And, sir, I think there was something that we talked about earlier about the an upcoming survey you guys are doing on packages.
Yes, actually. We will be releasing the results of that also in conjunction with our annual OPTECH conference, which will be happening November 14th through 16th in Orlando. We did a package survey a few years ago that was sort of the first one in the industry as we were looking at online shopping trends and, the impact of things like Amazon Prime with the free shipping and things like that, and how that's having an impact on site as more and more packages continue to arrive at our communities. And then we followed up again last year with our resident preferences survey, renter preferences survey, excuse me, and I got a little bit more insight. And then now we are doing yet another one to examine, dig a little bit deeper into those trends and look at, how much people are ordering, what they're ordering, and what that means for essentially space allocation in our buildings.
Is that the main issue that everybody has? Since there's so much online shopping now, what do you do with all the packages that are delivered on a daily basis?
Right. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of staff time that ends up being dedicated to the management of packages. I mean, there are a multitude of solutions. Every company and every site has different constraints, and they have different ways of dealing with it. You know, some use package lockers, some deliver to the doors, some just have a room. But there's, as more and more packages continue to arrive, that becomes a greater task. And so it's also finding out what kinds of technology solutions are available to make sure that our residents can get their packages and that there's ample space for them and that they're secure and all that without cutting into staff time that as they need to do other important things like respond to maintenance requests or deal with customers and prospects coming in.
And I was going to say that I recall seeing a television report on one of the news stations about 3 or 4 years ago during the holiday season, and that's when it first kind of became evident, because I think one of the major apartment owners put a policy out that they were no longer going to accept packages at their offices and that they would be delivered to the to the doors of the homes. And of course there was a big outcry from a security standpoint. So it's become a bigger issue, and of course it's created an industry for people who can provide the lockers and solutions for the folks that need it, that don't have the space. What are some of the other things that you guys are working on as far as some surveys that you've got coming up?
So that will be we try to do that survey every other year. Mm-hmm. So we did it last year. So the plan is to work on that again next year, I believe. So one survey we have out currently, we do every quarter. It's called the Quarterly Survey of Apartment Market Conditions. And we survey our owner developers, managers, brokers, finance folks once a quarter to just kind of get a gauge on market conditions. And that's all available on our website. The survey actually will be it's in the field starting today, and it'll end next. It will end on October 16th, I believe. And so we'll be able to get a gauge on how apartment markets are looking. So it looks at both the vacancy, rent trends, but it also looks at the availability of finance. And it usually serves as a very good indicator of if there are pockets of concern that we should be looking into. We also, this quarter, we are asking a question about tariffs because we've started to hear anecdotally some questions about tariffs, but we don't really have anything to fall back on. So we're asking about the impact of tariffs on just costs and then also project feasibility.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about from some of the suppliers in the industry how they believe they're going to be affected by tariffs. And, of course, that has to be passed on to the end user, the people who are hiring them to do the work. So it's something to be concerned. And I guess, Colin, is that something that you guys get involved in from a regulation and advocacy standpoint?
It very well could be. Thanks, Paul. Like Caitlin said, we're still doing the research and we're trying to figure out what exactly the impact will be on the industry and the different sectors of the industry. However, there seems to be little doubt, at least hearing from our members and hearing anecdotal stories, that it is having a negative economic impact. And once we have that research in hand, I'm sure that we'll be going to our allies on Capitol Hill, as well as with the administration, and making the case on behalf of the industry that tariffs such as these have, again, a negative impact on the ability of the industry to develop, build, and create as many jobs as we currently are.
Can you share with our listeners a little bit about how that works when you have to go to Capitol Hill? Do you have a team of people that goes there to talk to the legislators, or how does that work?
Sure. Probably don't want to bore folks with too much of the sausage making, but But we, along with our partners at the National Apartment Association, have a number of experts across a number of policy areas and issue sets that have worked for years, if not decades, on these different policy issues, and constantly making the case that for the industry, on behalf of the industry. And the way it kind of goes is that, you know, having done our homework, having heard from our members, having made sure that we have the economic and analytic backup that we need, we go and make our case in a friendly and educational manner to policymakers who either may be inclined to support us or those who may not naturally be, and try to inform them of the positive impact that the multifamily industry has on communities across the country and the economy as a whole, and the importance it plays in the lives of, I think, about 39 million people who call apartments home, and the 12.3 million people who are employed either directly or through secondary means by the multifamily industry, and the direct impact that that industry has on the specific congressional districts and states that members of Congress and senators represent. In fact, we have information on the precise economic impact of the industry on each congressional district, on each state, and I believe in 50 of the largest cities in the U.S. That shows exactly how many jobs are created, exactly the amount of economic growth provided, and the amount of people who call, again, apartments home.
That's
all that information can be found on weareapartments.org.
That's some powerful information, and I'm sure it serves the local apartment associations well to have that information. We got to take a break. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing NMHC, the current initiatives. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me are Sarah Yossi, Vice President of Industry Communications with NMHC, Caitlin Walter, Vice President of Research with NMHC, and Colin Dunn, Director of Advocacy and Policy with NMHC. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. eConserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So, Let's talk a little bit about rent control. In some markets across the country, it's a big issue. In some, it's not quite as big issue. But I know there were some legislative efforts recently in the California area. What's going on with rent control, guys?
Thanks, Paul. It's fitting, actually, that we're speaking today during MHC's 40th anniversary, because back in 1978, MHC was actually founded to fight the implementation of rent control laws in states across the country. And 40 years later, almost to the day, we find ourselves once again, as an industry, trying to combat these rules and regulations that have been proven over time by economists of all stripes and parity affiliation to be damaging and destructive. So MHC, along with our partners, the National Apartment Association, are currently engaged in opposing a ballot initiative in California that would implement or would lead potentially to the implementation of rent control laws in cities across the state. That ballot initiative is currently underway and will be decided on November 6th. And we will continue to fight that initiative until Election Day. However, the reasons that have prompted that initiative in California exist in some form or manner in other states throughout the country, as Paul, you alluded. And we, as a national organization, and along with our partners, are dedicated to working with our partners in the states and cities that may be affected by potential rent control laws and implementations to oppose those efforts and to make sure that policymakers realize that despite the seriousness of the housing affordability challenges they may face, there are a variety of other policy solutions that they can look to that will be more effective and have a better impact on their communities than the short-term implementation of rent control rules or laws. So between the National Multifamily Housing Council and the National Apartment Association, there are a number of initiatives that will be rolled out over the coming months to make sure that policymakers have all the information and policy solutions they need to make informed and productive decisions when it comes to either rent control considerations or housing affordability discussions at a larger level.
Can you share some of the solutions that are out there that you guys are advocating?
Sure, and there are a number of them. And I alluded a little bit earlier to a project that we have underway that will delineate a number of policy solutions at the local level. But the key takeaway that we recommend is that when policy makers, whether at the state level or the city level, are looking at the housing affordability challenges that they are facing, that they do so in a holistic manner. And they don't look for a silver bullet, but look for the number of levers that they can take advantage of that will ease the challenges that they face. When it comes to information, we think that that is one of our key mandates as the industry's trade association. And for anybody interested in learning more about rent control, why it doesn't work, and about 40 years of economic analysis to that end, more information can be found at MHC.org or by contacting me at cpdunn@MHC.org.
Colin, can you share the markets that are across the country where you see rent control the most prevalent? I know we mentioned California, but what other markets around the country are having this issue?
Sure. It's a wide variety, and it's really coast to coast. For instance, just last year, Portland, Maine, or 2 years ago, I believe, had legislation that was defeated. But what we're really seeing it in cities that are facing high growth and haven't had to deal with the degree or influx of potentially new citizens in their recent history. So we're seeing it across the West Coast, the Front Range of the Rockies, but even in more traditional manufacturing hubs like Chicago or Pittsburgh, for that matter. It's a problem in some form that cities are facing, again, across the country. And that's why it's key that each approach, whether it's from a state or a city perspective, is nuanced and unique to the challenges that community is facing.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to add that. I mean, I think the solutions that we are supportive of are ones that are going to some degree add supply, right? And we also want solutions that can be targeted to serve a variety of needs. And those are just two big, like, failures of rent control. And that's sometimes a really just a misunderstanding about what rent control does and the underlying problems, like kind of underpinning housing affordability in general.
Yeah, I think when it really comes down to it, rent control is often viewed as a short-term fix, a Band-Aid. But it's clear to us, I think it should be clear to industry members across the country and policymakers, that we don't need a Band-Aid, but rather long-term holistic solutions that will put the industry and really housing generally on the right path for decades to come.
I want to talk a little bit about NMHC and the different, events that you guys hold every year. I know that there was just one recently and on student housing, and you've got the OPTECH coming up. Let's kind of take it for a year and let our listeners know what they can have the possibility of attending that might be of interest to them.
Yeah, this is Sarah. I mean, I can talk to that. Yeah, we just finished with our student housing conference last week, actually, in Huntington Beach, California. And, you know, like all of our events, it's a chance for people to get together, to network, to get deals done. Our events are also a great platform to showcase new research. For example, last week we just released a white paper that compared the cost of on-campus versus off-campus housing. And that was a really interesting piece of research. And Caitlin, feel free to jump in at any point. But basically, the research looked at all the different factors and features available across a data set that basically had never been assembled before, that combined both off-campus market rate apartments, off-campus purpose-built student housing, and on-campus dorms, as well as on-campus apartments, and sort of came up with a model that could evaluate, you know, feature to feature, apples to apples, what students paid versus what they got. And there were some, you know, pretty interesting takeaways. And so that's one of the great things about coming to our events, is that there's always kind of new data and new insight that's being shared and exchanged, as well as the kind of more traditional business deal making.
And I noticed that at the events I've been to that you guys have, that you really do have the industry leaders that are there taking part and actually giving some of the presentations, as well as sitting on the panel discussions and so forth.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And our student housing and OPTECH events are a little bit unique also, in that they have a sort of trade show or exhibit hall component where decision makers can meet with key suppliers and trade partners as well, check out new products as well.
And Paul, there's one more meeting that's new on the books this year that I'd like to highlight. Every year, MHC is one of our largest meetings, is our annual meeting, this year being held in late January in San Diego. But ahead of that meeting, we're having the MHC's Women's Event featuring Arianna Huffington.
Oh, wow.
This is a program that is a direct result and outgrowth of our diversity inclusion program over the last few years. It's gained more and more importance, not only within MHC, but across the industry at large. And this is an opportunity for women to network with women leading the rental apartment industry into the future. And this is a program that we're placing the highest importance on, and think this will be integral to the success of our membership across the board over the years to come.
That's great. That's great, Rob. I look forward to going to the next event. I wasn't able to go to your student housing, but I really enjoy it, and I encourage all of our listeners to go to the website and try to get to one of the events. They really are informative and educational, and you meet a lot of people there that can help you and mentor you in the industry. I want to take a couple of minutes. We have about 2 minutes left to just go across the panel and let each of you talk a little bit about how you got into the business and the industry, and if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how they could do that. Well, why don't we start with Caitlin?
Sure. I actually fell into the industry. I graduated at a not-so-great economic time, and was fortunate to get a job at a private urban economic consulting firm that eventually led me, after I got my master's degree, to NMHC. I've been at NMHC for about 7.5 years now. And have done some additional grad school work in the in that time. I'm an urban planner by training, and so I focus a lot at NMHC on just our affordability is my big focus right now, but running our internal research as well as working with outside consultants on some of our bigger projects as well.
Okay. And if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do that?
My email address is dwalter@nmhc.org.
Great. Sarah?
Sure. I have a different background as well. I am a journalist by trade, and so I kind of cut my teeth covering actually single-family housing for a number of years, and then when we had a giant housing bust, I found myself looking at a different opportunity in multifamily, and I came over to NMHC, and I've been here for about 6 years, and have really enjoyed seeing how some of the, you know, the commonalities and also the differences between the two residential real estate sectors. As far as how to get in touch with me, my email is syossi@nmhc.org. But I'll also actually be in Houston on the 17th for our one of our regional emerging leaders events that's happening. And that's one of our sort of talent development and growth programs where our sort of under 40 set gets together. And they have these, they host these events anywhere from 4 to 6 times a year. And we will be in Houston on the 17th.
That'd be great. And Colin, we've got about 30 seconds.
Sure. Thanks, Paul. I'm also new to the industry. And I think one of the common themes that you see, not only with the three of us, but multifamily practitioners writ large, is that many don't plan to go into the multifamily industry, but once they do, they very rarely leave. To that point, there's a new initiative that our president, Doug Bibby, has announced over the summer called careersbuildingcommunities.org. And that's a website catering to students, both in high school and college, who looking at real estate, what are the different industry tracks that they may be suited for and that they may find interesting, but they may not know about. So I would encourage that any of your listeners who are either young themselves or have relationships with colleges, high schools, universities, or just young people generally, recommend that they go to careersbuildingcommunities.org and check out the different interactive maps, quizzes, and informational resources that we've highlighted to show how many different careers are available through not just multifamily, but real estate writ large. And I'm happy to provide more information about that or any of the topics that we've covered today at either our conferences, which I attend, I think, almost all of them, or cpdunn@mhc.org.
That'd be great. That's great. Guys, I really appreciate you joining in today. We're going to be back next Friday and each and every Friday with another power panel and great topic. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.